Oh, yeah. Give me $5. Amen. Yeah. We'll do that. Okay. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen, I want you to know that your best days are right out in front of you. We need to know that God has ordained us to be alive and doing well during this time for the kingdom of God's sake. We're going to enter right into worship today. And what I need you to know, even live streamers, I need you to know that God loves you. God is with you. And you are amazing because God created you unique. And I want you to know that God has stored up for you things that are going to be great and mighty and wonderful. And we just need to give him the praise and the glory and the stick-to-itiveness to just love him. And you will see God do everything on your behalf. Amen. And let's go into worship and let's praise God.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning. We're just going to worship him this morning. We're going to give him honor, give him praise.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we just come before you and we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. We thank you that you are the El Shaddai. Lord God, that you are the great I am. Lord God, that you pour over us every single day. I thank you that we stand here and we're able to proclaim your name because you first loved us. Father, I thank you that you loved us so much, that you wanted so much for us to come to this earth and to fellowship with us and us be your children and you be our Father, that you took the hands. You didn't just speak a word and create us, Father God, but you took your hands and you uniquely formed us in your image. Lord God, we just give you glory today that you breathed your breath into us, Lord God. And I thank you that it's the same breath that sustains us today. Father, we thank you for your great love that you loved us with. You are the great I am, and we give you glory this morning, Father. Worthy are you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
We've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. We've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old old inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom, saving. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Same old road, miles and miles. We've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to build the same old roads inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel love.
Dead of night, and we've all found ourselves worn out from the same old climb. And we've all run from things we know just ain't right. Well, there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost. Savior, if you got chains,
chain breaker. You got pain, he's a pain taker. He's been lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Can't seal it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Thank you.
out again. And I am surrounded by the arms of the Father. And I am surrounded by songs of deliverance. We've been liberated from our bondage. 'Cause I am a child of God. One more time. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child.
The ways and winds still.
with my soul. We can sing it well because we have Jesus this morning. It is well with my soul. Come on, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Come on, all over this morning, I want us to lift our hands and we're gonna sing this again. It is well, Lord, we lift our hands and surrender, Lord. It is well with us,
with my soul. It is well with my soul
because of
just to talk to him and tell him thank you. Even if things in your moment doesn't look good, the Lord said that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I will deliver you out of all of them. So it is well in my soul because he first loved me, because he brought me out, because he saved me, because he formed me in my mother's womb before I was even there. Take the time just to thank him.
Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you for your love by which you loved us. We thank you that you sent your son. We thank you for the faithfulness, the peace, the mercy, the grace. Lord God, your patience is out far above anybody I know or can think of. Because your patience with me has been
thank you today for loving me, for loving us, for forming us, for bringing us to you. No man comes unto the Son, but the Father draw him. Thank you for drawing us in. Thank you for bringing us to a place with you. For no other reason to love us and to set us free. You don't need us to do what you do. You can do it all by yourself. You're God. But you choose to use us. You choose to continue to love us. We thank you, Lord. And we give you glory. And we want you to know that we love you, God. Nobody in this place will ever receive your glory. You are due it. You are due it. You are worthy. You are worthy, more worthy than my words could ever express, Lord God, more than this body is ever capable. But you are worthy, and we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The best.
got an immediate appointment that he has to get to, so we want to make sure we give him all the time, amen, to bring us forth the word. Y'all can be seated. Hallelujah. How many of you are the miracle God's already touched? Every single person should have their hand up right now, because we are the miracle. When we look in the mirror, we see his faithfulness every single day. We're alive. We get to praise his name, and we get a choice how we're going to live today. Amen? We're going to choose him every single day. Every single day. We choose you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to change. Go ahead.
No, hello.
Hey, how are you back there?
Family is here from, amen, not you, Trey, Jordan.
Hey, we love you guys.
We love you guys. We're good to see
you. Glad to see you this morning.
Family that is in Columbus now, and they come visit us every once in a while, we're glad to see you and have you with us today. Amen.
Amen.
And live streamers, we're happy to have you with us today.
Yes.
Welcome. Welcome. We pray that a word gets taught today that changes.
Hallelujah.
That reaches in and grabs you from his word. His word is truth. It's life. It's breath. Amen.
Honey's going to do announcements, offering, and she'll do all of that after we preach the message today. I'm going to preach with you for just a little bit, and then I got to sneak out of here. But we are honored and blessed that we're going to let the children go to Children's Church. We got a great outreach coming up this weekend that we need to be involved in. But they'll tell you all the details about that later. And you're going to get the chance to give your offering later. But as for this morning, right away, the first thing I want to do is let's look up here on the screen. Now, I want you to know that I was in a very small community of 520 people. And this was on the women's restroom and on the men's restroom. That do not take drugs in our restrooms. You are on camera entering and exiting. And I want you to know that in another community, I was called in to pray for somebody that was convulsing in the bathroom, a public bathroom now. They're in there convulsing around on the dirty public bathroom floor because they jumped out of their vehicle. They had wrongfully stolen money from their parents, and they jumped out of a vehicle and ran into the local bathroom and just took their drugs as quickly as they could. They were convulsing. We had to call and do all this stuff. And I want to tell you something. That we are going to be preaching on these next weeks here on a subject called Honor is Due. Because in this very nation that was established on the word of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that I'm not being political, but there's over 158 biblical references in your Constitution. Says one nation under God. And in this nation where Jesus Christ put his ordination on here, listen to me, I want you to know there's blessing in every country around the world. Every country has places of blessing and highlights. Let me tell you something. I've been to Italy and there are moments of beauty in Italy, but it's not America. I've been to Africa and I've seen the beauty of Africa, but it is not America. I have been around the nation and I tell you what, there are two nations that are extraordinary and they are Jerusalem, Israel, and they are the United States. Now listen, you can believe it or you don't have to, but when you get the money to travel this world, you will see the difference of the honor and the ability for you to live how you live. You know, in America, sometimes I just get frustrated at how arrogant we are because we think that water and electric and just all the things we have, we think that because we're out in the country and we can have this and that, because we're here, we can have this and that. We take it for granted like it's an everyday issue. Let me tell you something. When people start degrading what you have in this nation, and then when we start become irreverent towards God, I'm telling you, I pray the fear of the Lord would fall upon us. Because you have no idea. You are not here walking in all this just because of a flip of a coin or because some kind of happenstance. You are here because your forefathers fasted and prayed before your Constitution was written. See, people don't even know our history. I want you to know that your first president, President George Washington, he wrote over 100 prayers in his first year of presidency, and riding horses visited over 50 churches and said and declared that the day we forget to give honor to the sovereign God who established us is a day that we will begin to lose who we are. Now, I want you to know something. That how is it that a community of 520 people in the country, when I grew up as a country boy, listen to me, the worst thing I ever heard was that a senior smoked cigarettes. I tell you what, the worst thing I ever heard was that a boy in school used the H word. I tell you what, back then we threw down with some knuckles, but no way did we ever shoot guns at anybody. And let me tell you something, you better win in the fight you had, because if you got home, you got your tail whipped for having the fight, and then you got the tail whipped for losing. I got to tell you something. I got to go someplace today, and I'm telling you, there's just places where I would not go unless I put my best on. Just to honor people. Listen, I'm telling you that if I went to some places where people go today and their attitude is so casual, my mom would have whipped my tail. I didn't get to just talk in front of adults, let alone smart off to them. Listen, when I came into the room full of adults, I kept my lip zipped, brother. And I got out of the chair and sat on the floor in a moment's of time. And let me tell you something. It could have been a stranger in my house. If I had a smart mouth, if I had said, no, I live here, you sit on the floor, I'm telling you, my hiney would not be able to sit in a seat for a week, and I'd know better. Yes. And I'm going to talk to you about some things today, because it is time for us to recognize that honor is due. Now, before I even get into my message today, I got to ask you something. Why is it that we think nothing of paying thousands of dollars to a golf country club, but you want to poke out your bottom lip if the church says give tithe out of your $50 you made this week? I want you to know, why is it that we have become so disrespectful towards God that people are just bound over with addiction and mental illness, and we're just sitting here giving them more pills, and nobody has the guts to stand up and say, this is not a social problem, this is a spiritual problem. We have removed the Lord Jesus Christ from the headship of our lives, and that's why we have trouble. Listen to me, I want to know that the end of your drugs is never going to end until Jesus is Lord. I want you to know that your marriage is never going to quit being a wreck until Jesus is Lord. I want you to know that you're never going to get away from suicidal thoughts. They will come back on you. You might get away from them for a season. You might get a new job and have $2 in your bank account and think you're all that. And as soon as the newness of your job wears off, you won't even be able to keep your job, because fear will come right back on you. All the stuff of the darkness will come right back on you, because until Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, you can't even declare yourself to be a full human being. I know some people don't like how I preach it, but I tell you what, it's too bad. I love you, but I don't care about your political correctness. I don't care about your attitude. I don't care about your stiff-necked rebellion, thinking that I don't know this or that. Let me tell you something. When we get to heaven and every knee has to bow, I'm going to be standing in the line of the rejoicing. And I tell you what, if you've never bowed in your life, if you live your whole life as some arrogant, cocky little, I'll do it all my own way, you can live like that. But the minute you die, the fear and the reverence of God's going to come on you. Unfortunately, it's going to be too late. I tell you what, even my sweetie pie, I'm just doing some preamble. Can I preamble for a minute? This ain't my message yet. I'm just talking to you. You know, one thing I need you to know, that in church, we got to be able to talk real. Listen, I ain't afraid of your popular terms on Facebook, BTW, ETW, woke. I ain't afraid of any of that stuff. I want you to be woke to the truth of the gospel. I want you to be woke to the truth of the gospel. It's time for you to wake up out of your slumber. See, they come up with all these terms, babe, and they act like it's brand new. I don't know. I just made it up. But when I think about you, ETW means exceedingly excellent, terrific woman. Woo! I know what BBR means, too. Beautiful babe Regina. Woo! That's my I guess it's not Facebook, but I ain't on Facebook. But that's my text talk, ain't it? BBR. Woo! I know what that means to me. But anyhow, let me tell you something. We use all these terms today, and we act like it's something new. You ain't said nothing new. Woke. You need to be woke. Yeah, the Bible says arise every morning and give your heart to the Lord. The Bible says wake up out of your slumber and get ready, because you should know wickedness is near and Jesus is about to return. See, you want to be woke to all this stuff on TV and you want to be woke to all this social media stuff. You better wake up, because the Bible says of Jesus that it's a fearful thing when people can know when it's going to rain, but you have no reverence or understanding of when my soon return is. I tell you what, if you're a Christian today and you're all about yourself and you're all about just building your life and you have no reverence that one day the Lord is going to return, I tell you, you need to get woke. Because you got another thing coming. I'm telling you that it's been preached for generations and generations that the Lord's return is soon. But I'm telling you, it's sooner than it's ever been. And I want you to understand something. We're not going to put up with that no more. You know, I spent some extra time. I got hollered at it. Because I was lost for a little bit, but I spent some extra time just walking around that. I walked a couple blocks around that gas station, and I said, Father, I curse every demon devil of drugs in this arena. God, I curse it. Father, I pray that the drug dealers get busted. Lord, I pray that people, if they take a drink of alcohol or they even get ready to drink a pill or shoot up, that they just get so sick that their hands tremble and they throw the syringe. Lord, I pray that the fear of the Lord comes upon this city. And I tell you what, I'm starting to be in your city right here in Kenton every Monday and Thursday. And you got to be nuts if you don't think that I ain't driving around here cursing drug addiction, cursing spousal abuse, cursing children abuse. If you don't think that I don't come and you think I come visit you at Wendy's and I just want a hamburger, you better understand something, that I'm in your line cursing the darkness that rules and reigns in this region. And I tell you what, I'm not afraid to speak like the Bible says speak. I tell you what, we're going to go for God and we're going to go for this thing. Honor is due. Why is it that you are so reverent about your bills due? You know when your rent check is due. You know when your grocery bill is due. You know when your Facebook account is due. You know when your it's not a Facebook account, is it? Oh, it's your iPhone. You know when your iPhone bill is due. You know when your internet bill is due. But my problem is, why don't you know when honor is due your God? I got to tell you something. I love the church. But sometimes even the church will make me regurgitate. Because I tell you what, you know the names of your doctors. You know the names of your disease. You know all your prescriptions. You know this, you know that. You know this, you know that. And you just think that, you know, the church has begun to believe that mental health is a drug issue. Just go to counseling, get on your drugs, and try to maintain. Thank God the demoniac didn't have to hear your gospel. Thank God that he was still here when Jesus Christ could cast out a legion of devils and have a man in a moment of time sitting in his right mind, dressed in clothes, cleaned up, no longer stinking, no longer cutting himself. What is wrong with the church when our cure for everything is psychology and mental sickness? I thank God that I'm starting to convince people and they're starting to convince me. Judges and people are starting to say, you know what, Pastor Philip, I thank God that you have realized that drug addiction is not a social problem. I thank God that you realize that mental health is not a social problem. It's a spiritual problem. Let me tell you something. You can take somebody out of the ghetto. You can take somebody out of a million-dollar house. You can give them all the clothes you want, all the Big Macs you want, and I love the Big Mac. Of course, I don't eat it as much as I preach about it, but I want you to know, you can take them out of all of that, but if you don't give them Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected, and his saving grace over their life, in just a moment of time, they'll be back in the trap of Satan. What is wrong with us when the church has left Jesus for medicine? And I love medicine, but let me tell you something. No doctor, no lawyer, no politician, no political correctness is going to bring me salvation. When I'm in my point of need, there's only one thing for me, and that's Jesus. Only 1.5% of heroin addicts truly get free and not die from it. And 99% of them are saved. And if they ain't saved, they got people praying for them. That's the only way they stay. It's not my facts. Go down to the judge, the lawyers, or anybody, and you'll find out their facts. I want you to know something. I love and respect the medical profession. I'm almost done. But we have allowed science to go too far. Listen, we talk about gang banging and they're wanting to take away our guns. Well, let me tell you something. Before you take away my guns, stop the 989,000 abortions every year. But if you want to handle the third largest killer of people behind heart attacks, stop the illegal prescription drug trade of flopping medicines that kills 480 or 387,000 Americans a year. You know, some of you, your side effects on your drug prescription is worse than the disease you got. I tell you what, I'd get on my medicine and I'd take it and I'd be faithful, but I'd be like the woman with the issue of blood. I'd look for Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. Woo, I feel like praying all up in the Holy Ghost, but in the church, I got to speak in a language that you can't pretend you didn't understand. What is wrong with the church? It'd be one thing if the world was doing this. It'd be one thing if the world was suffering 55, 60% divorce rate. Be one thing if the world was all prescription medicated, but you know the church is prescription medicated as the world. You know, it'd be okay if the world was spending on pornography, but you know what? I won't name the conference, but I was in Atlanta one time just about 10, 12 years ago, and they said, oh my goodness, we like this association that's coming next month. And I said, oh, why? Because they're all Christians and they treat you nice. They said, well, they do that, but really, our whole year is prayed for next week because our porn on our apartment, on our home rooms, goes up so high during this Christian event that it literally pays to make sure our hotel is open all the next year. What is wrong with the church? I'll tell you what's wrong with the church. There's no honor truly getting to God. People want to come into a feel-good message. They want to come in and put their Facebook post out there that they was in church today, but they are not on a daily basis giving their heart to God. They're not sitting there working out their salvation. They think that grace means that, hallelujah, I said my little prayer, and they think they can go and do everything they want. Hallelujah to you. You're wrong. I'll make up words if I have to, but I'm telling you right now, What you know, sometimes people think I preach tough. But I got to tell you something. What would happen if Paul the Apostle was with you and he saw something in you that wasn't authentic? And he said, you're not pursuing the Holy Ghost just to get people saved and healed. You got wrong motive. You're trying to make money. You're trying to do something wrong. I'm going to strike you blind in the name of Jesus, and hopefully you'll repent. See, people would get mad. They'd call the mental ward right now. I'm telling you, they'd have the police coming, they'd have the straight jacket coming if I commanded someone to be blind. But Paul did it because he knew that 3 days of blindness is the only thing that humbled his arrogant self enough where he could actually reach out towards God. Oh, come on, I know you don't like how I'm preaching. He's so rough, Pastor Phil. I mean, he don't listen to anybody. He seems arrogant. He seems puffed up. He won't even listen to what you have to say. I ain't listening to a bunch of lies and devils and fear. If I step on your conversation, it's probably because you're trying to twist something up. Jesus didn't listen to that trash either. And I still haven't treated you as rough as he did, because he looked right at him and said, you guys ain't nothing but a bunch of serpents and vipers, and you're of your father Satan, not of Jesus. See, what would you do if Jesus was here? You guys think I'm rough. I don't teach half as tough as he does. But I'm going to tell you something. Honor is due. That word honor means that it's time for us to start giving reverence back where reverence happens. I tell you what, don't wear a hat into my house, because the next time you come over, I might slap it off of your forehead. No, I won't. Regina won't let me do it because Philip wears his hat in my house. But I might slap it off of him one time just to let him know what it was like when I grew up. He thinks he has it so tough. Let me tell you something. He ain't never had that belt. Them old leather, they were real belts back then, too. Your dad released that old leather hide. And I thought, does he have a 20-foot belt or what? Because it didn't just stop here. It wrapped around me. Oh! I tell you what, if you went to school today, your parents got you so weak and beat up, you ain't even going to be able to handle the world. You want to know why? Because the minute you hear that someone said something to your son or your daughter, they gave him a little discipline, a little time out. Instead of in there asking him what he did and whipping his tail, you're in there threatening that I'm going to put you on Facebook and call the popo. Even when I grew up, it was the police. Po is what they called me. Because I was so poor, they wouldn't use the word P-O-O-R. I was so poor, they said, you po. You po boy. I was so po, they wouldn't even give me all four letters. I was in the poor. When you live on the other side of the track where the poor people live and they come out on their welfare checks and say, boy, you po, you know you po. But I'm just telling you right now that I might have been poor, but I knew how to respect my neighbor. I knew how not to steal. I knew how to go to school and respect my mama's name. I knew how to go work at my neighbor's farm and pull all the manure he wanted me to do. I knew how to bale hay. I knew how to pick the garden. And I knew how to work from the beginning of my shift to the end of the shift, so I protected my father and my mother's name and got my $2 for the day and my half a bologna sandwich for lunch. What is wrong with us today? We're afraid to even tell our kids to go to work or do anything. I got to tell you something. One time I came home from school and I was just puffed up and full of myself, Nathan. And I had heard that some kids got allowances for doing the dishes. Some kids got allowances for going outside and feeding animals or cleaning something up. Now, they were the rich, spoiled kids, but I didn't know that. But they got allowances. And I came home, and I made sure that that day my dad had to work at night. So I made sure that as soon as I got off the bus, I whipped through my chores like a madman. I tell you what, I was empowered. I felt like Superman. And when I was outside feeding the chickens, I felt like Flash Gordon. I tell you what, when I was lifting the bales of hay, I felt like the Incredible Hulk. And when I was in the kitchen, I felt like I Dream a Genie. I don't know who I felt like. I felt like I did a magic trick. I felt like I did a magic trick and got the dishes clean. And I was coming home, and Dad came home, and I said, "Hi, Daddy, how you doing?" He said, "I'm good, boy. What's up with you?" I said, "Oh, nothing. It's been a good day. I did good at school. I got good grades. But, Daddy, I want to ask you something. I did the dishes. I did the I fed the chickens and the pigs. And I did the help. And I did the dishes. And when I was at school, they told me that they get allowance money for that." He said, "Oh, boy, they did." He said, "Did they explain to you what an allowance was?" They said, "Yeah." They said that I got an allowance. Like, I got money for doing my chores. So I was allowed to get some money, allowed to get stuff. He said, "Oh, so an allowance allows you to have stuff." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Boy, you get an allowance all the time. You just don't see it." I said, "I do, Daddy?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I allow you to live here. I allow you to sleep here." He said, "I allow you to eat here. And if you keep disrespecting me with your talk, I'm going to allow you to get beat here." Well, hallelujah. Straighten me right up, brother. I had no more need of an allowance. I went to school and said, "Yeah, my allowance is better than y'all's." I was allowed to breathe and live and stay in the home. I allow you to eat here. I allow you to sleep here. I allow you to stay here. You keep disrespecting me, I'll allow you to get beat here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I bet none of y'all's had conversations with your kids like that nowadays, have you? Yeah. That's why you got the disrespectful brats you got. And I still love you. That's not for anybody here. That's for Facebook, you know, Facebook. If you... that's for out at the park. Hallelujah. Tell you why you got children's problems, because you have listened to Dr. Phil instead of Dr. Jesus. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. He said, spare the rod, spoil the child. Listen, God designed people. Not Dr. Phil and Dr. Yoki Oak and Pokey Oak and Dr. Spock and Dr. Her, whatever her name is. I don't even know what their names are. But they didn't design anything. They didn't design anything. God's the one that designed you. And you know what? He made us with a gluteus maximus. And that's the strongest recovering, most pain-resistant, pain-recovering muscle in the entire body, the gluteus maximus. Because it needs to be beat every now and then when we're children. Okay, now listen to this. Honor is due. What that means is that there must be a reverence from the church on God and all he stands for. You do not get to get saved and live the way you want to live. You do not get to expect to go to heaven and still like live like a devil. So you can't be having sex outside of marriage. You can't be taking drugs. You can't be cussing, fussing. You can't be missing church and living your own way. And just because somebody treats you mean, you can't be offended and just go do your own thing. You don't get any of those rights and think you're still going to go to heaven. I'll explain to you in the next couple weeks what you get when you rebel against God. But tonight, I just want to honor you by saying, listen, how in the world could Jesus give his whole life for you, go to the cross, suffer pain, suffering, when he did no sin whatsoever? How could you have him do all that for you, redeem your life, take all pressure off of you, and guarantee you to be blessed, and guarantee you to have never let the devil have authority over your life? How in the world could you let him go through that, and all you want to go through is, well, I said the prayer, I should go to heaven? You arrogant, sinful, wrong-hearted person. You go to work and you expect to work hours to get a paycheck. You go to the restaurant and you expect to pay what's due to get your meal. You go and have video, you'll spend money on gaming. I didn't know it, but I heard that there's people that will spend thousands of dollars a month on gaming on the internet. They don't go to bowling alleys anymore. But brother, I heard that people spend $500 to be in charge and be a part of a bowling alley. I heard people will spend $1,900 on golf clubs. Get lessons for $50 a pop. Buy a new golf club every so often. Pay dues. Pay $100, $200, $1,000 a year to a golf place. And you arrogant, puffed up little thing, come in God's house, who redeemed you from the curse of the law, is going to give you eternal life, helps you every day, and you puff your chest out about a 10% tithe. And heaven forbid you ever get your moldy money out and give $2 above that. Then wonder why you have nothing from God. The Bible says seed time and harvest is from the beginning. If you sow sparingly, you're going to leap. You're going to harvest sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to harvest bountifully. I thank God that. I want you to know something. If all you do is go to the store for your little grocery list and no more, you are a failed Christian. I didn't call them serpents and vipers, honey. I didn't tell them they're of their father, the devil. I didn't say how you're going to escape the damnation of hell. The loving Jesus said all that. All I said is that if you go to the store consistently 100% of the time, week after week after week, and all you do is get your groceries and run out, you are a failed Christian. Because I guarantee you, God gave you an assignment there. I guarantee you, God gave you an assignment there. But because you're so puffed up and all about yourself, half of you are bumping into stuff because you're Facebooking in the store. Are you serious? Put your Facebook toy up. Quit being so prideful, full of yourself, that you got to get 15 likes on Facebook. So there you are, Facebooking in the store, Facebooking while you drive. Do you know that text death driving and Facebook driving has gone up 1,000% even this year? You know what they're discovering, though? Half the time they thought people were texting, they're Facebooking. Here you are managing music and managing your Facebook while you're driving and you're killing people. They used to think it was all texting. Now they call it all text and drive, but if you really look at the reports, you'll find out that people are looking at Facebook videos while they're driving, and then they get all caught up in something. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now listen to me, I'm only getting on this stuff because it's time for us to get ourselves straightened out and get ourselves beyond ourselves. How many of you, don't raise no hands, how many of you can tell me that you have read your Bible even 5% of the time that you've been Facebooking in a week? Get an app. It'll show your social media time. It'll show your text time. It'll show you this time. I bet you it's going to add up to about 40-something hours in a week. And I guarantee you half of you don't got 2.5 hours in the Bible, let alone 4.5 hours in the Bible. Church don't count. No, I'm talking about your personal time studying. I guarantee you that 90% of even the body of Christ doesn't have 10% of time in the Word as they got on Facebook and hate book and text mess and all that other stuff. And I know I'm pressing some of your buttons, but you want to know why you're stagnant? You want to know why you can't get over the edge? You want to know why your bank account keeps running out of money? You want to know why your stress is up? You want to know why you're frustrated all the time? You want to know why you live in fear? Because you're putting fear in you instead of faith in you. You have forgotten that the Bible says for the believer that you are filled with power, love, and a sound mind. Some Christians live in fear every day and have bouts of anxiety like that's normal. I got to tell you something. You can come up and scream and yell at me, and as long as you're not Regina coming up behind me in her soft little voice, you won't scare me at all. But if you're Regina just coming out, walking through the house quietly, saying, "Babe, what are you doing?" Because I'm safe in my environment with Regina time, so I'm having God time. And I'll be all concentrating on a revelation like what I'm preaching to you right now. And she'll just walk in and say, "Honey, what are you doing?" But let me tell you something. I've had guys out when I'm on the street come up and go, on purpose, "Don't move me." See, because out there I have to have the Lord with me. And he's with me at home, but I just get to be at peace at home. But listen to me. Put up there Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And you guys are fortunate. I got to get going here in a few minutes, so I'm bringing it down a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's go to verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We're going to stop right there for a minute because I've got to tell you something. It's amazing to me that when Christians first get saved, set free, when they first get off of drugs, when fear first leaves them, and when all of this stuff is off of them, they are fervent. They're reverent. They run to God. They won't miss church. They run to the house. Their joy is full. They're reading. They're praying. And then as soon as the pressure gets off of them. Now, I don't mean this in the physical way. Talking spiritual. As soon as they get fat and sassy. I've been in church 6 months straight. I've been reading the word. Hallelujah. I've been doing what God asked me to do. It's then when the Lord says, "Be careful. Because the busier you get, the more blessed you get, the more you will tend to stop honoring me and you'll start dishonoring me." And the minute Christians start dishonoring God and they lose their fervor for him, they forget that he's the one that gave them the power. They forget that he's the one that blessed them. See, sometimes even in our nation, we forget that it was our Constitution with 158 scripture references. It was our forefathers that fasted and prayed before they wrote the Constitution. We're the only nation in the world that exists that has had the same constitutional agreement for the entire length of the time, because it's the only one that was bathed in prayer. It's the only one that was fasted for. It's the only one built upon biblical principles. It's no wonder why we have cured 70% of the disaster problems for the earth. Do you realize that when it comes to national disasters, whether it be earthquakes, tsunamis, whatever, America has put 70% plus of the money out to other nations than the whole world's put out. I tell you what, nations can talk all they want to. I don't care if it's China, Haina, Wuwaina. I don't care who it is. They can talk all they want to about themselves. The truth is, if there ain't an American economy, ain't nobody got no economy. I'm glad that they want to make all their goods, but where do they want to sell them? Shaka-ta-ka-ta. I'm glad that if they're so proud of themselves, you know, half of them ain't got a right to claim what they're using anyhow, because it's all American and Jewish ingenuity. I got to tell you, some of those big nations, if they didn't steal our stuff, they wouldn't have no stuff. Because dead places that don't honor God and have gods that are not real cannot even give birth to the things of God, because the Lord says it is he who gives men witty invention. Come on. It's he who releases. Boy, I tell you what, I love you guys, but I'm telling you, even if you resist what I have to say, I'm going to say it. Christians get lazy once the blessing of God comes on them and they start to dishonor him. They start to get an attitude, well, maybe I am good at my job. Well, maybe I did this and maybe I did this. And when they start buying all their items of ease, it's amazing to me that the one thing, boy, they won't give up the Friday football game. They won't give up the golf arena. They won't give up all that. The one thing they will give up is their God time. And I love you, but I'm just being real with you. If I give up my Regina time all the time, listen, sometimes I give up too much Regina time, and she lets me know I've been gone too long. Then as soon as I'm home 5 minutes, she says, honey, you need to go again. But listen to me. You can't give up your God time and keep your God blessing. Eventually, the devil will overtake you, and before you know it, something's going to come crashing down. Listen to this. When we go into the new church, your pastor ain't going to fast less. I'm going to fast more. In fact, that's probably why I'm so radical, because I'm already fasting as though I'm going to be doing it if we were in the new building. Listen, when we cross over the river, girl, it ain't time to just shout hallelujah. You read the Bible. When they crossed over into a new glory, they circumcised themselves. They challenged themselves more. They cleaned up their life more. They became more holy. They became more reverent toward God. They didn't put God in their life less. They put him in their life more. It's the only thing that brought them out of the wilderness and kept them out of the wilderness. We're not going to be the generation that does this. Go to verse 16, please. Are you awake? Oh, okay. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end? God's word is not the enemy. God's commandments are not the enemy. God doesn't tell you to do things because he hates you and wants to put you under bondage. He tells you to do things because it's the only way to make sure you're never in bondage. Go to verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have got me this wealth. You know, I've heard so many Christians that will start doubting God, trying to pretend like he failed them, and now they got to do their own thing. No, you didn't listen to what he told you. It was him who told you don't sleep with nobody till you get married. Then when it turns out all a mess, and you thought that was a gift from God, and it don't turn out blessed, guess what? You try to go back to him and act like it's his fault. It was him who told you don't be drunk with wine, only be drunk with the Spirit. Then you're down at the bar half drunk and you're saying, why did God put me here? He never put you there. You made your own decisions without him. Don't try to put something with God when you are doing exactly opposite of the scripture. I mean, I see people do exactly opposite of the scripture all the time, and they act like God's part of it. God's not a part. He's a gentle God. He only does what you ask him to do. If you ask him to give you strength, he will. If you ask him to keep you holy, he will. If you ask him to clean up your mind, he will. If you ask him to bless you, he will. But don't sit there and do your own thing without a prayer, without a God thought, knowing you're breaking the rules and his commandments, and act like God's a part of it or God's the problem. You're the problem. What you sow is what you reap. You're over there sowing all that into the kingdom that God has no parts of. Listen, I love you, but if your money is going to drugs and alcohol, if your money is going to perverted music, if your money is going to all these things that are not of God, when you get the results that you get them and don't throw a fit. And don't you dare put God's name on it. I had to go to a person the other day and say, don't you ever put one more thing on God because you've pretended to be a Christian and you're not one. Stealing money and doing deceitful things. Nobody you know, nobody around here. This is halfway around the world. I said, stealing money from your company and acting like you're a Christian, you are a bum, you're a liar, you're a thief, and you will have your place in the lake of fire unless you repent. Repent, take ownership of what you did. Thank God I had a man call me one time, and he was drunk. He had a twin brother who had got killed the same night. Celebrated their birthday. One brother went drunk this way, driving, endangering lives, killed himself. The other brother went this way, and he ended up in the ditch, almost killed himself. The only difference with this brother is he called 911 and said, hey, I done went off the road. I'm driving drunk. I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. I need help. God sent him me, poor guy. But I want you to understand something. That this is where people need to understand. We begin as Christians to say in our own heart that we're doing this by ourselves. We don't need God. Go to verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. You know, I have heard second and third generation Christians say, well, Pastor, I slept with my girl before I got married, and I was still blessed. Yeah, because your parents had a covenant. It's eventually going to come crashing down on you. Well, I've got a good job, and I don't pray. I don't go to church. Yeah, because your parents had a covenant. God's honoring their covenant. See, the children of Egypt, they didn't come out on their own rights or their own prayers. The Lord said, out of my respect to your forefathers. Well, we'll get into that next week. It wasn't those people living in sin and idol worship and stinking Egypt that got themselves out of anything. In the book of Exodus, the Lord said in chapter 3, I came down because of your forefathers. Now I'll hear your prayers. Listen, there was a time period where I only came down. Okay, I only received blessing because of my mother's covenant. And I'm telling you, Christians, that you are not only a new creature, but you have a responsibility to be a reconciler and to be an ambassador for the Lord. Listen, I want you to know, if you haven't stopped your day for someone else in the last 6 months and gave somebody money, prayed for somebody, let somebody go in front of you, honored somebody, if you haven't done that in the last 6 months, I would start repenting and check myself. I'm just telling you. See, here's what Christians do. They think that they've done all this work. They think they did it by their own power. So they even think tithing is an option. They act like it's their money. Everything, listen, the breath you breathe is because of God. I tell you what, I don't like to tell on myself, but just yesterday I was out and about in that same little neighborhood where those signs were up. And while I was there, there's an older man getting out of his vehicle and coming up there. And he was bald and clean shaven. And I just grabbed the door and opened the door for him. And he just began to weep. I said, hey, brother, I said, you're a military man. I said, and I just want to honor you. And he said, yeah. He said, I'm also just lost my wife of 47 years. He said, it's strange. You're getting the door for me. I used to be able to get it for her. He said, but I'm not down. He said, because I know where she is. I said, amen. She's rejoicing, brother. And now you got to dig in and get there. But I held the door for him, and he got out, and it was his grandson and his daughter and all this was getting out, and they were going to meet his sister and all this stuff. And I just started talking to him and said, man, I thank you for the military. And I said, man, I thank you. I said, you're not sitting here all broke down are you getting ready to go to church tomorrow? He said, absolutely. I said, you just lost your wife of 47 years? He said, yeah, but I got to stay in this thing now. I'm going where she is. I said, yeah, I tell my wife that all the time, brother. I said, she ain't getting away from me when we go up. And we were just laughing. And then all of a sudden, I told him a little story, and I ended up giving $50 because they were going to some festival. And I said, you know, if your wife was here, you'd spend $50 on her, wouldn't you? He said, oh, brother, now that I've lost her, he said, I always did. He said, you're right. He said, but if she was back for even a day, I'd go way beyond that. And I said, well, good. Then if this little guy gives you $50 in honor of you, and the grace and my jubilee thing that I always do, and they just started, they said, oh, I can't believe that. And they went on about their way. I didn't do that as a pastor. Hello, I didn't do that as a pastor. I didn't have my suit on. I didn't have my pastor tag on. I was in my jogging pants. They probably didn't even think I owned $50, and I'd like to tell them 25 to 30 years ago I didn't. I could have liked 2 cents. I would have liked a nickel. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. God can do the impossible. I bless those people. And then you know what? The other day, there's somebody I just prayed for. They got blessed. We got a card today, didn't we, baby? Read that card.
It says, when God sends someone to tell you something, it is amazing. But to be a messenger is also amazing. I really can't tell you how much I appreciate what you did when you let God use you. God bless you and your wife and your family and friends and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you so very much. I will forever thank God when I think of him sending you to Lowe's to speak to me. My husband has already reminded me by saying, what did the preacher at Lowe's say?
Amen. Hallelujah. The preacher at Lowe's. I'm going to go see if they'll give me a little offering. Hallelujah. But listen to me. Why, if we're Christian, why have we not had a moment with God this week that we could celebrate, that we witnessed, that we experienced him, or that we receive from him? Tell you what, there's a little beautiful girl over here in the first service. Is she your grandbaby? She told on me, didn't she? Right in front of Regina. I'd already told that story about giving away. And all of a sudden, his little granddaughter said, you gave me a dollar. I had seen her downtown one day. And they were sitting there, and I just wanted to bless them. So just gave her a dollar. Didn't give them big money. Dollar just blessed them and went on about my business. I had no idea she was related to this handsome man. She remembered that, told on me. Then I told on myself because yesterday I received 100-fold for that dollar because someone came up and gave me a $100 bill. And I told on myself for that, and now Regina knows about it, so it's no longer mine. Because she's more than a conqueror. So I went, oh no, that's going into vacation fund, amen. But listen to me, I want you to understand something, people. If you will let God, and if you will do, he will do for you. Put up John chapter 8. He knows what I need. John chapter 8, verse 28. I'm going to get through this scripture, and then I'm going to give you one more to reference for next week, because honor is due. How can we honor our rent collector? How can we honor our Facebook, well, it's our phone collector, bill collector. How can we honor our electrical bill collector? How can we have all these reverence for those things, but we have no reverence for God? We don't even think about God. We don't think about going to church. We don't think about our cussing. We don't think about anything. We just expect God to put up with everything we're doing. John chapter 8, verse 28 says, then said Jesus unto them, when he had lifted up the Son of God, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. You know, Jesus was without sin. He was perfect. And you know, he never did anything on the earth in his own power. He wouldn't even breathe, move, or speak unless he knew his father told him. Here we are, saved Christians under a better covenant, and you know every day we arrogantly speak, don't we? We arrogantly move. We arrogantly do a lot of things on our own, don't we, brother? You're going to preach this gospel one day, so you might as well just walk in the anointing now. Let's go up here and let's talk about this thing. Jesus would do nothing in his own power. Go to verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. You know, we can barely do one thing in a month that pleases the Lord. Yet he did everything every day to please his Father. As he spake those words, many believed on him. Now, you would think that according to the church we're in today, they would say, once people believed on him, grace got it, brother. You're good. You're good. Just once saved, always saved. Just go and do whatever you want. Da-da-da-da-da. Let's see what Jesus said about it. Jesus said that once you believed on me, he says, Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Jesus didn't say you get to come to church, you get to come when you want, if you want, if your pastor doesn't offend you, if you like the message, if you like what they're cooking. He doesn't say anything like that. He says that you are going to continue in my word, then you will be my disciples. In other words, he says, now that you believe in me, you better get in my word. You better put my word first. You better live by my commandments. You better do exactly what I tell you to do. We don't get to devalue the Lord and go our own way now that we're saved and think that we're under some kind of grace that'll take us to heaven. I want to put you on notice, if you live that way, you will bust hell wide open. We're going to learn in the weeks to come that the Lord said, how in the world can you call me Lord, Lord, and not do a thing I ask you to do? Right, young man? We can't go our own way and not do what Jesus asked us to do. That's right. Come on, give them a smile. Say, amen, Pastor. They think I'm talking too loud for you, but you're saying this is good stuff. Even out of the mouth of babes, he's trying to let you know you can't do your own thing. And please God, the Bible says that how in the world can you call him Lord and not do what he tells you to do? So here we see that Jesus said that you must actually continue in my truth. And then look what it says, big guy. Look up there. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's all grace. No, no, no. The truth will make you free. Do you realize that line upon line, precept upon precept, your brain needs to be renewed. Your heart needs to be renewed. Your conversation needs to be renewed. You better change your attitude. You better change your talk. The very fact that you're saved means now you can understand the word, and you better live all up in it. Arrogantly acting like you said some prayer and now you have the right to do. You ain't got the right to do nothing but come and learn. Better get yourself together, boy, because I tell you what, I feel some arrogance pushing back on me. And I tell you what, you walk out of this door and you don't like what I have to say, go ahead and bust hell wide open. But you're never going to be able to put your blood on my hands because you couldn't handle the word. I would never say something to you that wasn't God. Just like this, I say that you received a miracle because we prayed. I didn't puff myself up. The scripture says that. As a pastor, as an elder, if I pray for you in the name of Jesus, it's not me puffing myself up. It's the word, because the Lord said that you will come and have them pray for you and you will receive healing. Get mad at me. I don't have magic hands, but I do have Jesus hands. I don't have some spell to spill, but I do have a word of God and the anointing of God on my words to tell you the truth. And as soon as I tell you the truth, the Lord by the Holy Ghost comes, and he's the one that saves you, heals you, and sets you free. All I got to do is put faith out there, and if you receive it, God's coming. Amen. Amen? Praise God. Okay, I'll let them go, brother. You're the calm side of me. You're the peace and Pastor Phil, you've been hurting their ears pretty good. So I'm going to let you go right now, because the truth will make you free. I believe God that he's going to do it for you. And I'm telling you right now that you need to study this. It's about time you honor God. So I'm going to give you Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You better study it and get in it, because next week I might call you up and have you give me the definitions and have you tell me what it means as we preach the gospel together. Well, you got 2 weeks. See, God's giving you grace. I'm going to be in Hawaii next week. And I don't want to go. Here, I better give him back because I got to get going. But listen to this. I don't even want to go to Hawaii. Woo, yeah, come on. We'll preach again next time. Give me five. Yeah, oh, yeah, handsome. Praise God. That's going to be a preacher of the gospel. But listen to this. We're going to Hawaii. I don't want to. But I'm going for your benefit in case you ever want to go there and you need a dream to know if it's okay. I'm going to go and live it up there. Hallelujah. I'm going to go and check it out for you. I don't really want to, but I'm going to try all the food there. I'm going to be out on the beach there. And I'm really going so that if you ever want to go to Hawaii, I'll be able to tell you if you're going to waste your money or not. Amen. Honey, I love you.
You're such a giver. Rita's from Hawaii.
I know. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So she's the first witness. And I'm just going to be a verification of Miss Rita. Praise God. I love you guys. Hey, listen to this. I got to go. But I love you. Matthew 6:33. It's going to transform our lives. Well, we've read that before. Yeah, but we've never read it under the authority of the due honor to really see what God has in that for us. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just declare your goodness. Father, I just thank you. Okay. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I declare your goodness. I declare your grace. I declare your mercy, God. Father, I just lift you up and give you reverence, God. I thank you, God. Because you are a powerful, mighty God. And I'm telling you that the Lord has ordained this moment. He's ordained you. He's blessing you. He's increasing you. God is establishing you. This message was not to condemn. This message is to just rise us to conviction and to know the honor and the joy that God has in releasing his word into your lives. I want you to know that the Lord believes in every one of you. Regina and I believe in every one of you. We love you, and we're going to walk with the Lord right through and see all that he has for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we'll run through our announcements really quick, and then we'll do tithes and offerings, and then we'll release you for the day. We have teens tonight at 5:30 right here at the church. Usually we do it the third Saturday, but somebody